All right, we're picking back up with our study on prayer tonight, and we're actually on page 3 in the outline, Roman numeral 3. But I would like to go back to a statement that I made, and actually I'd like for you to change one word in your study guide, if you would, because somebody had a question for me after class last time, and I wanted to address it. And it's this statement in letter H at the bottom of page 2. It says, even though we pray to God, the devil hears what we pray. And someone called question on that. And so I said, just give me a little bit of time to think through some things, and I'll try to come back and make sure that we don't cause any misunderstanding. I do not have a scripture that says, per se, the devil hears you when you pray. All right? I would like to insert a word in that statement that I think will be a safeguard to our thinking, and that is, let's say, even though we pray to God, the devil can hear what we pray. Now, think about it. I just tried to think through some examples and at some principles that would clarify that statement and establish that statement. First of all, I'm not saying, and neither is the study guide, that the devil is omniscient, that he knows everything, or that he's omnipresent, that he's everywhere. Only God knows everything. God is omniscient, and God alone. And only God is omnipresent. He is everywhere, all places, all at the same time. And only God is omnipotent, which is all powerful. But what we do need to understand is that we do have an enemy who is spiritual. He is supernatural. And he has a role in this season of history, and that happens to be the season that we are in for such a time as this. We were sent to earth. And his role at this point is that he's loosed. He is at liberty to John 10:10, steal, kill, and destroy. That's his mode of operation. Now, you're not going to pray him out of that. You're not going to pray him out of being who he is. That's who he's chosen to be. He rebelled against God, and he's in the earth at this season. But he's spiritual. He is supernatural. I've heard people say, well, the devil has no power anymore because Jesus has all power. Well, that's a misunderstanding of the word power. There are two Greek words for power. One means ability and force. Yes, the devil does have ability and force. And yes, God is all ability and all force, but the devil has ability and force. He can do some things, and he can do some supernatural things. But what the devil does not have in the life of a believer is authority. He has no authority in earth. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and in earth are given, delegated unto me. And then he said to his apostles, whose word we believe regarding Jesus, so therefore we can become his apostles and disciples as well, his sent ones, his representatives, his students. He said, now you go, and in my name you do some things. Well, one of those things is to cast out devils. Remember? Demons. Well, we use the name of Jesus because the enemy hears it. He hears and understands the supernatural power of the name of Jesus. So that's one example to me. If he didn't hear it, if he didn't hear everything, why would we need to use the name of Jesus to establish our authority? Okay? Now, let's look in Mark 4:15 at a scripture and a concept you know very well. This is the sower, sowing the word, or the seed, rather. And we know that Jesus goes on to explain the parable to his disciples that the seed is the word, right? And in Mark 4:15... as Jesus is explaining this parable, because the disciples stay with him for more detail, they want to know more, Jesus says, look back at 14. Because he says, if you don't understand this parable, how are you going to understand any of them? This is the foundational parable to understand. So here's Jesus' explanation. The sower sows the seed. He says the sower sows the word. The word is the seed. Seed symbolizes the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Well, how does he know to do that? Pardon me. It says, when they hear, Satan comes immediately. How does he know to come immediately? Because he hears too. And he hears supernaturally. All right? So that to me is another principle that establishes that he hears. He knows when to come. He knows exactly when to come. He knows a lot of things to do because we talk too much. And a lot of what comes out of our mouths, we have the opportunity to speak. Proverbs teaches us that it is within the power of the tongue to speak death or life. And it's said in that order, which I've always thought was interesting. I'm sorry. And if you listen to most conversations, an awful lot of what people say is in a negative light or a negative vein. It is not speaking life. I appreciate you getting me water. I certainly do. So how does Satan know when immediately is? He comes as soon as the word is sown. It says when they hear. When who hears? When the ones by the wayside hear. Satan comes immediately. He hears too. That's right. When it is spoken, he hears it. Now, that's another scripture that I would like to give you. We are told that the devil goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, who says who he may devour? How does he know who he may devour? Because he hears what is in abundance in our hearts. He hears what comes out of our mouths. Thank you very much. I greatly appreciate it. And Satan is my enemy. He's my adversary. He's the accuser of the brethren, we're told in Revelation. How does he know what to accuse me of? How does he know if he can devour me or not in a certain situation? A lot of what he knows and what he's able to do because of what he knows comes because he hears what we say. And a lot of what we say is not God talk. Now he hears God talk too. But the thing is, when he hears us speak the word of God by the Spirit of God, there's not a thing he can do about it. Because he just lost his authority when I did that. When I say in the name of Jesus and my faith is in what I'm saying, he just lost his authority. He might hear it, but there's not a thing he can do about it. Okay? So, he hears. He has to hear. He knows to come immediately. He figures out whom he may devour. I'm not saying that's the only way he knows, but a lot of what he knows about my belief system and my faith, he knows by what he hears and what he's able to see me do. And so do you. That doesn't really require being supernatural. Now, the supernatural part is that in the spirit realm, all words are there. Every word that's ever been spoken is still there in the realm of the spirit. It'll be called to record. So we know somehow God has an amazing system. Think about this, y'all. In the natural, a military intelligence network can know exactly what's going on anywhere in the world. I'm told that somebody somewhere with some satellite could even see me in my house and know exactly what I'm doing. Now, there's that kind of natural technology and things that men have devised that can come up with that kind of an intelligence system that operates globally all over the world. Do we not think that our spiritual enemy has a network of demonic forces all over the globe? that pass along information. We know that the angels hearken to the voice of God's word. So what makes us think that the demons don't hearken to the contrary voice, the counterfeit voice, their leader's voice? It wouldn't have to be a the devil per se, you know, in a form to be everywhere. He's spiritual. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, he can occupy a body, but he's a spirit. Spirits aren't limited like bodies are. Okay, we know how the Holy Spirit is everywhere. So what makes us think that that our enemy can't be everywhere hearing everything or anything that he wants to hear? And here's another thought just kind of coming in the back door. If there is a language that he doesn't understand, why don't we all learn it? Because there isn't any such thing. There's not a language that he doesn't understand. He's supernatural. If that were the case, then we'd all need to just learn that, and that's all we need to talk anymore. Where is a place that he isn't? If there's a place where he isn't influencing, then we all need to move there. There's no such place where you can get away from the devil or his demonic agents. All right? There's no such place on earth. Now, the presence of God is a place that you and God create for you. All right? That's your safe place. And when we're told to pray in our closet or to go into, you know, our secret place, that's where we're safe. But I don't know that the enemy can't hear us. But in faith, we're safe in the Lord, okay? Because we're in earth. And we're not in our supernatural bodies yet. In our spirits, we're supernatural. We're born again. We're born of the Spirit of God. My spirit's supernatural. My soul's in training. Because it has the potential to be supernatural, I have the mind of Christ, but that's not automatic like my new birth was. Okay, but my body is still my body. And it's going to be changed and adopted, but that redemption hasn't taken place yet. This body will perish. The outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. If this body perishes before the coming of the Lord, in which case I won't need this body anymore. I'll drop it and go to be with him in the clouds and take off. But if this body tarries, if that tarries and this body perishes, then this body will go in the ground. But I won't. The real me is not limited to this body. But in earth, it's my vehicle and I am limited. But the enemy isn't. Okay, he can use bodies, he can possess bodies, he can influence bodies, and he can do things through people. But he himself is supernatural. Is there any place in the world where there would not be temptation around me? Then in that aspect, he's all over the place. I'm not going to say he's omnipresent, but he's all over the place. Is there any place where I would not be subject to the attack from my enemy? No, it says he goes about the earth seeking whom he may devour. There's not a place that I can go that I would be exempt from that possibility. So I just want to say that he is called the God of this world, little g. All right, he's called the prince of the powers of the air. Now that's his role, and that is his domain in this season that we're in. So what we need to recognize is that he's our accuser, and he has sources of information. We need to be conscious of that. We talk too much, and we're never going to stop talking to God. We're not told to contend with the enemy. Jesus has already done that for us. We appropriate what Jesus has done in our life of prayer, in our lifestyle of prayer, because we're in right standing with God. And the effectual prayer of those in right standing with God has a force. It is a force. It makes all the difference in our lives and the lives of others. So we operate, it's kind of like special forces. All right? That's who we are. We are God's special forces. We are the body of Christ. We're members of the body of Christ. And we have authority in this earth that has been delegated to human beings, which we are, that supersedes the ability and authority of our enemy. That's how we are more than conquerors. Okay? So this message of realizing that the devil can hear what we pray, he can see. I could have said he can see what we do. You know, it's the same thing. He is alert and aware, and he is a persistent foe. He's a formidable enemy, and we need to recognize, we need to know our enemy. He never gives up. And that's what beats us sometimes, because we give up too easily sometimes. But we should never, never, never give up, because Jesus is the victor, and in him we are too. So we have to outlast our enemy. We have to outsmart our enemy. We have to outthink our enemy through the Word of God. Now, the only way I can think higher than natural is to think God thoughts. God isn't worried about the enemy. He knows he's defeated. All right? Well, when I'm thinking like God is, I'm not worried about him either. The Scriptures do not teach me to be anxious about the devil. In fact, they teach me just the opposite. Don't be anxious about anything, anybody or anything. But through your prayer life, you let your request be made known to God, and then there's a force about us. So we're special agents. And we move and we maneuver in this earth through the power and authority of God. And the enemy can't stop that operation. Even though he's right here with us, we have authority over him if we realize it. Now, he knows whether we believe that or not. On a given day, we may operate in faith, and on another day, we may not be where we need to be with our faith. You can ask the sons of Sceva about that. There were 7 of them, and they had heard Paul do things, miraculous things. They'd seen it. They had heard him use the name of Jesus to do those things. So they decided to try that name on for themselves, to cast out a devil. And when they did, the response from that demon was, Paul, our Jesus I know, we know, Paul we know, but who are you? And there was an attack that ensued, and the 7 sons of Sceva lost that battle. They got, you know, beaten around a lot. Because the enemy, it's not just hearing the name. He's also aware of whether when we speak the name, we believe what we say or not. Now, what we are taught to do is resist the devil. And before that, and this is the order, so I really said that too soon. First of all, it says, submit yourself unto the Lord. Resist the devil, and he will flee. All right, we'll look at that scripture a little bit later. That's in James. But we're taught to resist the devil. We submit to God, to his word. That's how we can resist the devil. And then he has to flee. But does he go away for good? No, even with Jesus, it says he left for a season. But then think about this that Jesus said. He told his disciples, the devil has come. But he has nothing in me. Not a thing in me. Isn't that an amazing thing to say? And you know what? In Jesus, we can say that. He's come. He wants to sift us like wheat. Jesus told Peter that. He's going to come for you. He's going to try to sift you like wheat. But Jesus said, I've prayed for you. So, don't be anxious for anything. Everything's going to be all right in the Lord. But don't think that we won't come under attack, because we will. There's nowhere on earth that we can go that he's not. But we just need to be aware of that. Because greater is he who's in us than he who is, where is he? We say it all the time. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. So acknowledge that he's here. Know that he's here. Know that he's out to get us. Why? He's no respecter of persons. I mean, it's not a personal thing with us. It's a personal thing between the enemy and Jesus, his conqueror. And he despises us because of whose we are. He knows what Jesus has done for us. And he knows what Jesus will do through us when we operate like the mature body of Christ. So yes, he would like to take us out of the picture, because we do kingdom business and we make a difference in this earth as long as we're alive. You know, once we're gone, except through memories or some way of keeping things, you know, going. Like I think about the Billy Graham Museum. His whole life is still there. You can still experience it. You can hear him. You can see him preach. You know, you can see all the memories that he's left in this earth. They're tangible with him because he's very, you know, well known. People have collected his whole life in that place, which is an amazingly beautiful place. But, you know, short of something like that and our families, then our influence is just that. It's whatever influence we leave behind. But while we're here, you know, we're a living, breathing opportunity for Jesus to be seen in earth and demonstrated in earth. And that's what this whole thing of prayer is all about. So don't let that statement in the study guide that the enemy can hear what we pray, don't let that trip you up. He can. He does. He tries. And he'll use it if he can. But God is greater than our enemy. Jesus said, you be of good cheer. In the world, you're going to have troubles, pressures. But be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, he said. And the same way he overcame it, we can. And that's through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. All right? I just needed to clear that up because I wanted to make sure that nobody misunderstood what we were saying here. So you add that little word can to your study guide, and I'll feel better about that, and I'll fix the one downstairs before we put it online. Now, we are on Roman numeral 3 on page 3, so let's go there. We should pray always, realizing that communication with the Father is vital. I believe we read this last time in Luke 18, 1 through 8. But what it was talking about, I'll just remind you a little bit, is the unjust judge. Jesus was giving a parable of an unjust judge. And he said that because a woman persisted in coming to him, even though this man didn't care what God thought and he didn't care what men thought, and he made that very clear. I don't care about men. I don't care about God, but this woman is going to wear me out if I don't get justice for her. So I'm going to do it just to get her, you know, to get her to hush and go away. But then Jesus says this, and this is really the whole point, and that's verse 8. I tell you, now this is in red, so we know Jesus said this, and Luke recorded it, that he, the just judge, God, will avenge his own speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Now, that's a question that I've really been asking myself since we started this whole study on faith and now prayer. Is Jesus going to find his body, his true body, operating in faith? He'll have to, because if we're his true body, that's what we're going to grow up to do. Now, you can encourage yourself in this way. Do you always operate in faith? I don't. And I can tell that I don't, because the gauge for that would be that when I always operate in faith and I always see in due season the thing that I've spoken come to pass. Always, 100% of the time. That's the way it was for Jesus. And it didn't take very long for him to get things done either, did he? He had 3.5 years to openly minister the will of the Father and show, demonstrate who God is to the people. And the things that he did in those 3.5 years are amazing to me, what we do have recorded. And at the end of his gospel, John says, if we were to tell you guys and write down everything Jesus did, the world wouldn't hold the volumes. How did he do all that in 3.5 years? Except that, you know, he worked all day, did the will of the Father all day, and communicated with him most of the night. He didn't get a whole lot of sleep. But man, what a powerful ministry he had. Now we have longer than that. Already have had longer than that. So I'm not there like Jesus was there, because he never ever did anything without his Father's consent and blessing, because he always did what the Father told him to do. He always said what he heard the Father say and did what he saw in the Father to do. And I've done so many things without hearing God. And I've done so many things, said so many things that I didn't hear God say, done so many things that I didn't judge rightly by watching what God would do, knowing what God would do in my spirit. But I'm going to encourage myself in the things that I have gotten done. Okay, because I know that some things are different because I've been here. And that's nothing in the world but communicating your heart with the Father and watching him bring things to pass. So can you think of anything that your prayer life has made a difference for? I know you can. Just think a minute. If it was not but one person who knew God because you lived in this earth, that would be worth it, wouldn't it? Well, you've got some of those. If there was one baby born because I believed God was somebody that they could get pregnant, if one child came to this earth because of a prayer, that would be worth it, wouldn't it? Well, we've done that. So you know that you have done the will of the Father in this earth from time to time. And those times have gotten closer and closer, haven't they? The more you know the Word, the more you're sensitive to the Spirit, the more kingdom business you get done for God on a daily basis. So every day, this is what my prayer, I'm going to change it from prayer life to lifestyle of prayer. Because a prayer life makes me think of the way somebody prays. But a lifestyle of prayer makes me think of they live to pray. They live to communicate with the Father. That's what prayer is. It's a lifestyle of acknowledging God in all things, at all times, even when it looks like I'm doing something else. Because I can be talking to him on the inside, and so can you. And in that conversation, we can get direction for what to do next, what to say next, where to go next, where not to go, what not to say, what not to do, when to speak. There's a time to speak, but it has to be the wisdom of God if it's going to be effective. Well, I have to hear him to have that. I have to ask him. Do any of you lack wisdom? James writes, yeah, a whole bunch of the time. Well, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and doesn't upbraid us. He doesn't fuss at us for not knowing. He wants us to get it right. He wants his kingdom established in earth. How's that going to happen? Through us. Why wouldn't he help us? He would. The only reason we haven't done more is because we haven't either known to do more or disciplined ourselves to do more. But we're growing, and that's what I wanted to tell you tonight. I'm encouraged by the things that are happening because of the prayers. Now, I can take you to the agendas of this Bible school for the last 11 years. 2 nights a week, 11 years worth of agendas. This is just a stack since, let's see, when did I start this one? April of last year. And I have notebooks full of these. And we have prayers, things that people have asked us to pray. And I can flip from tonight's prayers in a few weeks. I'll turn the pages and I'll see that on the agenda we're giving a praise report that God has answered a prayer. If I didn't have anything but the agendas from this Bible college to encourage myself, of how many things y'all have prayed about or have brought before the school, and we've all prayed together about, and the miraculous things that have happened as a result of that, that would be enough for me to know. So I'm just encouraging us tonight. Not that we've arrived. We never will. But we have made a difference in this earth while we've been here. And I'm encouraged by that, because we're only 11 years old together. And we're going to keep right on going. So the more of God's word we know, the more influence we can have. And if an unjust God, or judge rather, if an unjust judge would do a thing for somebody just because of her persistence, how much more will God do for his own? He'll do anything that we can ask and above what we can ask or think, Jesus said. That's why he had come. If we can what? That's the kicker. If we can believe. Now, our job as believers is to believe. Our privilege is to believe. Our responsibility is to believe. And sometimes it seems like that's the hardest thing for us to do. Just believe and rest in it. I don't know why that is. But I know who made us. And I know we're made in God's image. And I know that our humanity gets in our way lots of times because we have a very creative brain. It's made in the image of our Father's brain. He created the universe. But that creativity can take us out into areas of concern and worry and imaginations because of how our brain works. We can imagine all sorts of things. We can worry ourselves ill physically. You know, we can think ourselves into problems. And I guess worry is the word I'm looking for. Ourselves into emotional states. And you know, and that's a creative brain. As much as it has the ability to create positive things, it has the ability to create negative things. That's the balance of the creative genius that we have. And I'm told that we only use a portion of what our brain's really capable of, which is pretty amazing when you look at some of the things people have been able to accomplish. Even people who don't believe a thing about God, who do it without his help, they think. He put the brain in them to do it, whether they acknowledge it or not. But godless men have done amazing feats. Think about what godly men and women can do. Our brain isn't really limited. God's isn't. And we have the mind of Christ, but we have to appropriate that. I don't know why he made us like he did. You know, our emotions are given as a blessing to offer to the Lord. You know, they're like a sweet fragrance. But they rock us back and forth like crazy if we don't stabilize them in Jesus. They can make us physically sick. They can cause people to do things that in their right thinking they would never do because they're emotionally off. And Jesus has a soul. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, it says that his soul was vexing him to death. It was about to wear him out. It was about to kill him because he was facing crucifixion, which is a death that nobody in their right mind would be able to even conceive of. And Jesus was struggling with that in his soul. But thank God we have an intercessor, a high priest, who is touched with the feelings of our weaknesses, because he came as humanity too. And Jesus has a brain, that was capable of the same things as ours. He felt everything we've ever felt. He was tempted in all points as we, yet without missing the mark. Which lets me know that I'm, as a human being, I'm capable of being like him because I'm a born-again human being. My spirit has been recreated by living God. So I'm here in earth to make as much difference as I possibly can in the window of opportunity that I have, and God only knows the number of years that we have. But he knows our days, doesn't he? He knows every time a hair falls from our head. Or he knows us by our hair count, which for him, you know, for me, that keeps him busy on a daily basis. The brown ones go, the silver ones come. So he's got to count me every day, which is a comforting thought to me. He knows us from the inside out. And he put us here on purpose. And he's put a life of prayer inside of us, a life of communing with him, so that we can make a big difference while we're here. You know, the characters that we read about in the scriptures, do you know why they're there? It's not because God plays favorites and decided one day he'd make a David. Now, he made David. But David chose God back. David decided that he'd be a God man. That's what David decided. He'd be God's man. And that's why we read about him in the scriptures. He did amazing things. Well, we can too. God has put us in earth to make an amazing difference in the lives of other people. But that is totally dependent on our communication with him, because we must hear by the Spirit and we must act according to the Word, demonstrating our faith in the Word of God. That's our prayer life, and that's what I'm so excited about tonight. So we should pray when things are going well. I'm back in the study guide. What have I got? 2 minutes? 1 minute? We should pray when things are going well. Let's stop right there just a minute. How do I do that? Somebody might say, well, what do I talk about if I don't tell God my problems? That's what I usually talk to him about. How about a grateful heart, which is so precious in the sight of God? What do you like to hear from people? Don't you like to hear how good things are going and that you've somehow made a difference for them? And I don't mean prideful stuff. I mean just like, thank you. I really appreciate that you would do that for me, that you love me enough to do that for me. Thank you. That meant so much to me. Do you think God doesn't like to hear that? What about our enemy? He knows that if he can't steal our, what is it? If he can't steal your praise, he can't keep your goods. If he can't steal your joy, he can't keep your goods. Well, joyful is talking to God when things are good. Okay? We'll come back to that thought.